All right. Now, I haven't officially timed what I've got to say today, and of course I've got it written down because my memory's not that good. We might get out early, but just in case, I've called Smithfield. I have enough food in here to last us at least through lunch tomorrow. So settle down and settle in, and we'll see what we can do with this. The scriptures today, I've got the scriptures coming from four different books. Not that many. What I'm trying to do is, of course, I'll give an explanation of each one. What I'm trying to do is show you what this has to do with the basis of my sermon. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and it was his custom, and he stood up to speak. That was Jesus that did this. What it's saying is that Jesus is our model. And he went to church regularly, and he knew the importance of sharing the word of God. One reason to be the church, one reason to be here. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We should go to church because it always reminds us, encourages, and strengthens us for the Holy Spirit through the people that God uses in the church. Because this was happening in the church. Peter was talking about it in the church. And that's why he brought up the baptism. It's all to do with the church. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. "Let us consider how to provide one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The day, of course, is the Sabbath. That's what they're talking about there. But being a Christian is not easy. So we need to be with other Christians to help guide us, to keep us going, keep us on the right path. We know that God sent them to help guide us, and we can rest assured that they understand exactly what we're going through. Matthew 18, verse 20. "For where two or three gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Well, I don't think this needs a whole lot of explanation. That's pretty straightforward and pretty clear. We're definitely more than two or three, so God is, Jesus is among us right now. He's in our midst. So, that is something that we need to consider and remember about being in church, coming to church, being faithful to the church. Why do we come to church? Why are we here? Maybe one of those situations where you think, well, that's one of those duh questions. But it is because we're so complacent about things. We do things on a regular basis in the church. We do them every week. We may not think of them as deeply as we should sometimes. So we get a little complacent. We just kind of do it because that's what we've always done. So here's some of the things that I thought of maybe would bring you to the church. Are we here for the music that Janet plays each week? Maybe the beautiful hymns that we sing to that music. Is it the scriptures that are read each week? Maybe that it's Reverend Eggert's sermon that we come for. But we get some people, we get to see some people we haven't seen in maybe a week. Maybe that's why we come. All legitimate reasons. Myself, I like Holy Communion. That way you get a chance to partake of the body and the blood of Christ. And to me, that's very fulfilling. I like that. We come to congregate in the church each week in the presence of Jesus. We pray the prayer that he taught us to pray. We reaffirm our faith in him. And these are things that we come for. We do it every week, and it's necessary. These are at least two things we need to do each and every week. We pray his prayer and reaffirm our faith very easily because we've learned all of them by heart. We even know which page the reaffirmation is on, page 881. We've heard it's burned into the brain. Took me forever to ever learn that one page because I don't have a good memory. Darlene can tell you that. I don't have a good memory. I just can't memorize things, but I finally got it. When we do both of these things, it should stir something inside of us, and I certainly hope it does. I really hope it does. Our church should be at the top of our list, because here at Plank Chapel is where Jesus Christ will always be around us, as the scripture said. Each and every week as we worship his name, he's around us. He's in our midst right here. As we see and hear the service, we, of course, have to listen. You have to hear it. You can see what goes on, but you have to listen. And we interpret what we hear in our own way. Not everybody sees things the same way, so you interpret it in your own way. We all should be comforted by all of it. Even though we interpret what we hear in our own way, we must remember that the Bible verses we hear are used to improve our life and strengthen our faith. That's why you come to church. That is why we're here. Some years ago, I was in the pulpit. I can't tell you how long ago it was. It's been that long. Like I said, my memory's not the best in the world. I don't remember which pastor was here. But I used an example of some people looking at faith in Christ, loving Christ, and going to church is going to a doctor without an appointment. You go to the office, your chart would be put in a pile, and sooner or later, you'll get to see the doctor. Might not be when you want to or as soon as you want it to, but you'll get to see the doctor. But when it comes to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. It has to be a lifetime of work done day by day by day. The only way to strengthen your life through him, and that's it. It's the only way to strengthen your life through him. This is why we are here at Plank Chapel. We have a beautiful church that God gave us. He gave it to us. He entrusted us to keep it maintained and to fill it with worshipers. Thank you very much, COVID. But we have people here. He has entrusted all due to his love and generosity is the reason he gave us this church. I mean, that's just the way God works. I created you, your mind, here. This is your place of worship. Keep it up in my name. Not all people through the years have what we have been entrusted with. And that's a place of worship, beautiful place of worship. The Samaritans, and I'm sure all of us have heard about those, the Samaritans didn't have a place indoors to worship. War had destroyed all of their buildings. They didn't have any synagogues. They didn't have any buildings at all to worship in. But they worshiped. They still worshiped. They were not thought highly of by many people either. They were looked down on. They did whatever it took to worship under a shade tree, on the ground, just anywhere. They worshiped. They still went for God's love and show him their grace and their faith in him. At Plank Chapel, we have all the comforts we need. We have heating, air conditioning, lights. We can worship anytime we want, thanks to God, day or night. Anytime that he calls us, we can be here. And I thank God for his generosity and love for us, because he did that for us. As I was preparing the message, asking the question, why are we here? I decided to see what others thought about the question. Didn't want to call anybody here. So I did what any old man would do. You got on the internet and look stuff up, which is mainly for kids, but I did. I went on and looked it up, and I decided, I found some, and I decided I'd use it. And the author was not listed. A church name was listed. I didn't take the time to look the church up to find out where it was. I'm assuming this came from the pastor of the church or someone high enough up in the church so they could get something like this published. But I thought that I would bring this up and read it to you. And I will read most of it because whoever wrote it stated it a whole lot better than I could have, that's for sure. But these are reasons, and I will give you an explanation. Just read the reason and give you an explanation after. And these are reasons that were given. Grow your faith. Talked about that already. First and foremost, going to church helps you grow your faith. The messages, the people, the singing, everything about church is designed to teach you more about God and the Bible. Simply by opening your mind and walking through the church door, you set yourself up for growing your faith. All you got to do is walk in that door and sit down on this pew and participate in the sermon. You're growing your faith. Practice gratitude. Going to church helps us practice gratitude. As you join with others, you recognize that your problems are not the only problems in the world. And thanking God encourages us to look for things we are thankful for. You develop an attitude of gratitude as you spend time giving thanks to God, no matter what the circumstances. Develop relationships. We were not designed to do life alone. We crave relationships, but as an adult, sometimes it's hard to develop relationships. Going to church makes it easier to develop relationships with others. Whether you are new in town or simply need to meet new people, church provides an opportunity to surround yourself with others. Even better, more than merely socializing, church groups foster real community. That's when you really get to know people, when you have different things like Bible studies and stuff, and you go and you associate with these other people, you get to know something about them personally and their lives, and they become good friends. So that is definitely a true statement. Strengthen marital bonds. Going to church is also good for your marriage. According to the Institute for American Value Center for Marriage and Families, religious Americans enjoy happier and more stable marriages than their peers who are secular or only nominally affiliated with a religious tradition. My analysis on the GSS for 2000 to 2006 indicates that both married men and women ages 18 to 55 who attend religious services regularly, and that means at least several times a month or more, have a happier marriage. Feel peace. Our lives are constantly filled with noise and distraction. Between all the phone notifications and the people screaming in the background, it's like we never get to enjoy true peace and quiet. At church, this is possible. Whether it is out of respect or reverence, people tend to grow quieter when they enter the church. They mute their phones, they stop yelling. Church on Sunday brings a sense of peace we've longed for all week long. Serve others. Most people want to help others, but sometimes it's hard to know how to. Church makes this easy. Churches across America partner with ministries, community organizations, and nonprofits to give back. Additionally, churches need volunteers to help run programs and events. First thing I thought of was the barbecue, because that's exactly what happens. This whole church comes together to put that on. If they didn't, it wouldn't happen. Additionally, churches need volunteers to help run programs and events, as I said. As a result, churches give you multiple opportunities to give your time and money to support a cause important to you. Because the church, you know yourself, we support a lot of different things. We've worked in the community. We've sent stuff around the world, money-wise, to help out. Receive encouragement. Life is hard. Just like being a Christian, life is hard. You will grow through trials. Rather than turning inward and turning to battle alone, go to church. At church, you will receive the encouragement you need to deal with your current struggles. This may come from the pastor's sermon or the kind word of someone sharing your pew. I mean, the people next to you, someone sitting behind you. It doesn't matter. Talking to someone going out of this church or coming into this church on Sundays. A kind word. That's all it takes. Either way, you receive encouragement at church. Learn to forgive. Forgiveness is hard. But as anyone who's held a grudge knows, holding on to anger, hurt, bitterness, and resentment only hurts you. Going to church helps you learn to forgive. The more you realize or recognize Jesus' forgiveness for your sins, the more able you will be to forgive others. Worship together. We feel connected to others when we do things together. In particular, we feel more connected to others when we share an experience, such as worshiping together. As we lift our voices with others, we're reminded how we are not alone in our faith journey, and singing worship songs brings us closer to God. Uncover your gifts. This is one I don't think I've ever thought about, but it makes sense. If you have struggled to find your purpose, your niche, or discover your talents, head to church. God has given us each unique gifts to bring Him glory. Many people don't uncover these gifts at their workplace because they aren't given the opportunity. They're too busy doing other things. They don't have time to think about that one particular gift. But at church, your unique talent is needed to help the church function as a whole. And that's happened quite a bit here. I've seen people that could do things, and I'm thinking, my goodness, you know, they can sing, they can paint, they can do all these things, and it's been used right here at this church. I never thought about it that way. Be prayed for. If you need prayer to go to church, at church you will find people willing to pray with you about anything weighing heavy on your heart, and that's always been the case. We've had prayer circles, we talked to one another. You can come to the altar, the pastor would be with you, and if you want one of your friends to be there with you, they can too. They can as well. Improve your health. There have been countless studies about the correlation between faith and health, with church attendance bringing positive results. Studies have found that the churchgoers live longer and enjoy overall health than the general population. Another study found more religious adults in particular tend to exhibit healthier sleep outcomes than their less religious counterparts. Plus, statistics reveal people who worship frequently are happier than those who do not. Spend time as a family. Church provides an opportunity to do something together as a church family, and as well as help foster important conversation between parents and children. We encourage you to continue the conversations you have at church, back at home, over quiet dinners. The family that prays together stays together. And of course, we've all heard that last statement quite a few times throughout our life. But I don't know when this was written. I wish it had a date on it, because I can tell you now, this was not going to work unless you have a steadfast rule and you enforce it. No telephones and no iPads at the dinner table. Then this one will work just fine. I remember as a kid, that's what you did. On weekends, you had three meals a day together, and you sat down and you talked. Kids got a chance to talk once in a while, but we listened to the parents most of the time, but we had time together as a family. The last one is find meaning. Ultimately, church helps find meaning. Church reminds us of what truly matters by pointing us to God. And you've heard that statement several times in what I was reading, pointing us to God. That's what this is all about. You don't come in, sit down, sing the songs, and go out of here without feeling something has changed in your life. Even for the week to come and you renew it the next week, you may need to rethink a few things. Those were very well written, as I said, to begin with. They also give us valid reasons to come to church. We also hear because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. But following him also gives us something else. Eternal life in heaven. Wow. We didn't have to do the work. He had to die. But we got it. But you got to go through this church. You got to go through God. Oh, Jesus, to get to God. You got to go through him to get to heaven. And I tell you right now, when it's my time to go, I want to see him face to face. I want to see relatives and friends who have gone on before me. But now I can only imagine. All of us can only imagine. We're mortal. We can only imagine what he looks like, what heaven looks like. I'm sure we've all heard the song, I Can Only Imagine. Beautiful song. Written by a Christian young man named Bart Millard. He sings in a group called Mercy Me. It's all about imagining going to heaven, but he's not sure what he would do. What will I do when I go to heaven? You know, when I see heaven, when I see Jesus, when I face him, what will I do? Will I fall to my knees? Will I bow down? What will I do? And that's what that song was about. We don't have a choice at this point, but I will say that one song is the best-selling Christian song in the world of all time. And it just came out in the 2000s. I think something like 2001 or 2, somewhere around that point. So that shows you the impact of what God can have on your life if you let him in and listen to what's going on. One day we won't have to imagine. We'll all have our time. That's up to God, not us. That belongs to him. That's his right. He will tell us. He will lead us. But that choice starts with us worshiping Jesus. And what a glorious day it will be. All the things I've talked about today lead us to where Jesus wants us to be. All we have to do is accept his invitation and worship him and pray to him and follow where he leads us. Punk Chapel is a very, very good place for that. After all, it was given to us just for that purpose. Amen.